everyone. I'm Laura Grundler.
And I'm Matt Grundler. And today on K-12 Art Chat, the podcast, we are talking with Ami Kantawala about applying research techniques to help gain a deeper understanding and learning for your art classroom. All right.
I feel like we have a celebrity in the house right now.
Yes.
Yes, Ami. Yes, Ami.
Don't embarrass me.
No, Ami.
No, it's not about embarrassing.
No. It's true because it's Dr. Ami Kantawala, and she was most recently the editor of Art Ed Journal for NEEA, but she's just really contributed a lot to the field of art education, and she did some amazing work during a very difficult time in education for the journal. And just, you are a celebrity to me. You're pretty phenomenal. So we're happy to have you.
When we were talking, when you and I were talking, Ami, and you came up with the topic, I was like, oh my gosh, that is like spot on. So we are just super excited that you get to share your knowledge with all of our listeners. And some of the people that may not know who you are, why don't you just take a few moments just to kind of tell a little bit about you?
Sure. So thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this conversation. And when you asked me to do it, I know we were trying to schedule this for a while. And I was super excited to talk about research. And I think even back then, when we thought of it, we thought of talking about research.
Oh, yeah.
And It's something that I'm very passionate about, because I feel that research is where all the magic happens. And when you put research in the hands of teachers and practitioners, it really changes the dynamic of how we teach and learn. So in terms of introduction, as Laura said, I'm Ami Kantawala. I'm an adjunct associate professor of art and art education at Teachers College. And I also teach in the Boston University's MA online program. And I've just recently stepped off in my role as senior editor. And now I have the title of past editor for Art Education Journal.
Wow.
And it's been an exciting journey over the past several years to really see how the field has grown and evolved, and it'll continue to grow as we get more and more teachers excited about the work that they do in the art room.
Yep.
So thank you again, because you guys have done some fantastic work with this podcast and making these conversations accessible to a larger art education community, which is pretty amazing, because often teachers are looking for sources, and this is a great resource for them to look at, to have conversations with the two of you who are in the teacher, who are in teacher education and work with people, to really get these conversations going and having our teacher community to really think about what they can do to continue to do what they're doing, and how can they be a reflexive practitioner. So I think it's really amazing what you have taken on. So I'm grateful for what you've done.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And really, that's, I mean, what you said is exactly what our hope is that this provides reflective opportunities for teachers to think about their own teaching and learning and how they can grow. And kind of on that note, you know, we really encourage teachers to get out there and push themselves outside of their comfort zone. And the R word, as you said earlier, research is sometimes a little outside their comfort zone or scary. And there's this like, I'm just a teacher. I don't do research kind of thing. So I'm curious, why do you feel that research has that scary connotation for our teachers?
So I think that's a wonderful question, Laura, and you're spot on, right? For many art teachers, research evokes the stark reality of academia, and it's a far cry from the dynamic world of color and creation. That's what they're used to in the classroom. And often it is seen as a domain of dense texts and complex methodologies, an exclusive scholarly realm that seems so far removed from their intuitive hands-on work that they do in the classroom as art teachers. But what if we thought of research? What if we reframed research not as a demanding task, but really as a vibrant extension of the creative process itself? And, you know, I love bell hooks's work, and she calls her form of engaged pedagogy, where a space where both teacher and students are empowered through the mutual pursuit of understanding and growth. And research in the art classroom, when put in that context, can transform the very way we approach teaching and learning, because it allows us to evolve from being pioneering wayfarers to reflective practitioners, and really allows us to navigate the knotty networks of the challenges that we face in the classroom. So it's really like, when I think of it, it's about harnessing the rich tapestry of our lived experiences and using inquiry and curiosity, because artists are curious, teachers are curious, kids are curious. So how does that curiosity deepen our engagement with the material and students and the broader community? Because eventually we create a community of practice through these interactions. And it really invites us to reconsider and consider frameworks like culturally relevant pedagogy, participatory action research, social emotional learning, and TPAC, technological, pedagogical, and content knowledge, not as rigid structures. We learn about these things in the classroom in our teacher education programs. But if we start looking at these frameworks as lenses that really illuminate and guide the pathways towards a more inclusive, vibrant, and responsive art education, we really kind of have befriended the art of research.
I like the idea of looking at it as a lens, you know, and thinking through, I think, and I also think about, Ami, when we're writing curriculum, we start with a question. We start with that essential question. What is it? And we start with the end in mind, you know, and really in the end, the question for all of us is what are we wanting our students to learn? Right. And so I think of research in that same way. What is it myself as the teacher? And what am I trying to learn about my students? What am I trying to learn about the content? What am I trying to learn to improve the instruction in my classroom? And I think when you, I love the way that you put it, you know, weaving the tapestry together and using that lens to be reflective. That is powerful, powerful stuff.
You know, Ami, you started to mention, you know, this being a way to improve yourself in your classroom, a way to reflect on the things that are happening in your classroom. Because a lot of art educators, when they do get past the negative connotation of research, they feel like they have to go somewhere special or do something that's really far away. You know, is that really the case? Or can it be something as easy as right in front of you, like in your classroom? You know, maybe you can kind of expand on that a little bit, on how they might be able to do that in their classrooms.
Sure. And I think you're right, right? Like, often people are so intimidated that you don't really see what's in front of you. And research doesn't require a journey to a distant location, because meaningful research can be conducted right in your own classroom, no matter where that classroom is. It's a community, museum, school, elder care center, no matter where you are. And this immediate environment, if you think about it, is rich with opportunities to explore how your students make meaning, what motivates them, and which teaching and learning strategies could be the most effective. For simple, you know, a simple example, right? Art educators can conduct action research by implementing a new teaching technique and observing its influence on student engagement and learning outcomes. You might also collect samples of student work over time to analyze the development in skill and conceptual understanding. Another way to think about it is to gather feedback through student surveys or reflections to gauge their interests and responses to what you are teaching. All of this basically allows our teachers to then systematically investigate their teaching practice and make informed decisions to enhance their students' learning experience. And really, you know, think about the concept of engaged pedagogy. I keep coming back to that because it becomes very relevant, where it does not simply seek to empower students. Engaged pedagogy does not seek simply to empower students. Any classroom that employs a holistic model of learning will be a place where teachers grow and are empowered by the process, because the process of teaching itself is so powerful. And this perspective then, you know, when you think about it as art teachers, how do we view our classroom as a dynamic ecosystem where both teaching and research can then lead to a mutual growth and empower student and the teacher? And when you start conducting research in your own classroom, you are not only enhancing and strengthening your teaching practice, but you are also engaging in an ongoing learning process alongside your students, because it becomes that shared journey of discovery and creativity, because at the end of the day, it is your classroom where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And the classroom is the most magical place, the most profound place of possibility for any teacher. It's sacred and it has so much to offer.
Man.
I know. I'm like, how can you even ask another question after that? Because that was just that statement, Ami. Wow. If people don't want to start researching after the podcast, I don't know what's wrong with them, because I'm like, let me just get started. I lived part of my K through 12 life as an administrator, and I know that data is at the heart of so many conversations when you're trying to, you know, provide context for upper administration to find funding and do different things. And, you know, it's really important, I think, especially as a non-standardized test area, that our teachers understand how they can leverage some data by doing research to advocate for their programs for students in the visual and the media arts. You know, so I'm curious, where can art teachers, art educators go to learn about the practice of doing meaningful research? Where can, you know, kind of how they can get started, and then what points can they use to leverage for their administrators?
I think you raise an important point. Arts are always at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. No art teacher has sometimes even met the principal, or the principal has no idea. You're tucked away in the corner doing your thing. And often they don't even understand the value that you bring.
Correct.
The value that you bring to the school, the value that you bring to the kids. And it is the arts that makes the kids around it, right? It's the educational imagination. And art, you know, I've said this in so many of my editorials, that art allows us to see things that we normally don't get to see.
Yep.
So when you think about data, data is like as old as the hills. It's there. We're always going to have data in front of us. It could be in multiple forms. So when you ask that how art educators can leverage data to advocate for visual and media arts by demonstrating the impact of art education, and one of the things that one can think about is there's always this push for student achievement, engagement, and social emotional development. And as teachers, we can easily collect that information on student progress, like improvement in technical skills, creativity, how does art allow you to think critically, and emotional expression. And this is a good way for the administration to see. It's concrete evidence of how the value of art programs and what value can the art programs bring to that institution. And art integration. Julia Marshall has been a pioneer of art integration. So showcasing how art education supports cross-curricular learning goals and, you know, cross-curricular learning goals and 21st century skills, it can make a compelling case for arts administrators, right? Like people can start thinking about it, that, all right, this is really important, that kids who are having art lessons do a much better job in math and the sciences as opposed to the kids who are not.
Mm-hmm.
You set up a control and an experimental group and really start thinking that you give a less art lesson to a group for a semester and the other group doesn't have any exposure, and see how they do on their testing. Sure enough, the kids exposed to art are going to give you a lot more results than the kids who are not exposed to the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And to conduct meaningful research, we have a wonderful, wonderful organization. National Art Education Association is the only organization in the United States which offers guides, webinars, and workshops on all kinds of research methods tailored to art teachers. Online platforms, academic journals focused on art education also provide valuable insights and examples of research in the field. And I highly recommend that if you're listening to this podcast and if you're not a member of National Art Education Association, please join. If you're not a member of your state art education association, please join, because these are the avenues that is going to really give you that community of practice to do the work that you're interested in doing, because other teachers might be having the same challenges that you are having. And what is research? It's a challenge that presents the opportunity to dig deep. Because we are surrounded by problems in the classroom. How do we navigate that? And as art teachers, you know, reading practitioner journals like Art Education and research journals like Studies in Art Education, Educational Researcher, Visual Arts Research, International Journal for Art and Design Education, and many others. And I'll also share some resources for art teachers, including writing and publishing in these journals, because often thinking about what's going on in the classroom and when you get it out there, you'll be amazed how much you learn in that process and how much others can take away from the experiences that you are having in your classroom. And when you dig deep, others get the benefit of your effort to really take something away, because classroom offers that space. Mm-hmm. And bell hooks always says that art has the transformative power. It can be a source of inspiration. The function of art is to do more than tell it like it is. It is to imagine what is possible. And I love this quote by bell hooks. As art teachers, we can then leverage this vision by collecting and presenting data that highlights not only the academic benefits of art education, but also the capacity that we have as art teachers to foster imagination, critical thinking, and most important, emotional resilience in our kids. And by documenting and sharing stories of how art can inspire change, it opens up possibilities for students and teachers to really make a compelling case and advocate for visual and media arts. Often schools don't have, people don't have access to visual arts. They take it away because they That's don't true. Have the money. But if we can provide data-driven, you know, if we can provide this data that this is what really the benefit is and stand up for who we are, it really is crucial. And it's art education is holistic, it's transformative, one that values creativity and critical awareness as essential components of learning and human development, which are all at the heart of good teaching. Mm-hmm. So I say that if your principal doesn't know you, go introduce yourself, talk to them, tell them what you can offer, and find out how you can begin the dialogue so that they value who you are and how they can support your quest for learning.
Wow.
I will just add to the communities of practice through NAEA. You know, we have the Connected Arts Network, and all the teacher leaders are working on action research connected to their PLCs in their classrooms. And then their teacher participants that are now, so we've grown from 15, 16 teachers now to 150 teachers, because now each one of those teacher leaders is now has their own PLC.
About
and
10.
So that those PLCs, those community practices, are all going to be starting their own action research as well. So there are multiple opportunities through NAEA, like the Connected Arts Network. There's also the Research Commission and their working groups. And so, and I will tell you, I work with them as part of my role with the NAEA, and they want people to come be part of the practice. They're like, yes, bring it on. And it's, I think one of the things I'm hearing from you, Ami, that is not on our list, but I think, and I hear this from the research commissioners, research is not a higher ed function alone.
Absolutely not.
And I hope all of our listeners really take that away. I mean, you said it just a minute ago. It doesn't matter if you're a museum educator, a community artist, a teaching artist, or a classroom art educator. There's a place for you in research, and a place for you to grow and reflect, and a place for you to connect in a community of practice.
Ami, a minute ago, you were mentioning something, and as you were talking about it, I started thinking about a particular instance on my own campus. You were talking about, you know, the arts and having a consistent group, or a trial group of, you know, teaching them an art lesson versus another group that is kind of your static group that doesn't have that lesson, and, you know, seeing the differences in their learning. And it was very interesting. My first year on my campus at a middle school, and one of my math teachers came to me and said, I have to tell you thank you, because every time we start teaching points and plotting on a graph, she's like, the kids that are coming from your class after learning about perspective seem to then have a deeper understanding or a more clearer understanding of those points on the line and where they fall on the graph. And so I've kind of hung my hat on that a little bit, just because I'm like, yeah, see, we're making these connections. And it's not that she disvalued art in any way. She just really saw that benefit. So
what if you went to her and the two of you paired up and you started a research study on that very thing?
Could be.
See, it's as simple as that, right?
There you go, Matt, you nailed it. Because that's it, right? That if you see something in your classroom and you feel that there is something that could be done differently to see the change that I'd like to see as a teacher, mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to ask for research money. It doesn't mm-hmm. hurt to ask for funding. It doesn't hurt to go have a conversation. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're right. Going to say no. And the best case scenario is that, all right, great, let's do it.
Yep.
That's funny you say that. My mom used to say that all the time. What is the worst thing that anyone, well, I mean, there are worse things, but the only thing they can really say is no. So
she also exactly. said the you're a pumpkin head really if you don't ask.
She also right. said, if you don't ask, you're a pumpkin head. So, you know, it's true, though. So we've talked about all these great benefits for doing research and, you know, all the things that we are capable of doing. But as research goes, it has techniques, just like art has techniques. How would somebody maybe start to apply these techniques or these accommodations for their students? Because you brought up a good point about different learning styles as well and different abilities. And we can't just kind of say, okay, here's a blanket testing level and we're just going to go from there. So,
I think more importantly, how can we apply research techniques to support all the different learners in our room?
Yeah.
And when something we were talking about, Ami, before we started recording was just the amount of things teachers are having to do to accommodate students is such a stretch. So how can we kind of utilize the research and the research technique to dive in to support all those needs?
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes teacher training programs offer research classes. If not, there are plenty of ways to educate yourself about doing research. And I'll share some resources in the podcast. There's simple basic box on qualitative, quantitative, and mixed methods research that can help any beginning researcher to kind of pick up the book, read, and really start thinking about it. And I'll also suggest some classroom practitioner articles that are published in the journals that'll give you a sense of how you can do it in the classroom. And if you don't have training, there is so much available online to get that training. If you decide to put your heart into research, go for it. Because once you do it, there is no looking back. And it's like really getting excited about it, because research is 99% passion mm-hmm. and 1% management, or 99% management and 1% inspiration, whatever you want to make out of it. So research techniques can be incredibly beneficial in the classroom, right? To accommodate different learning styles and abilities within the art room. So if you're doing qualitative research, it's basically understanding what might be going on. Mm-hmm. And quantitative research is numbers driven. Mixed method research integrates qualitative and quantitative approaches. If you're a qualitative researcher, you really want to know what's going on in the classroom, the how and the why of your teaching and learning. So in that case, you gather information, you gather your data using observations, interviews, and student reflections. And this then, as a teacher, allows you to get deeper understanding of your students' unique learning needs and preferences. And this can then inform differentiated instruction, as an example, where tasks could be tailored to different learning styles, whether they be visual or they be auditory or kinesthetic or a combination. And action research is another fantastic process for teacher education because it's a cyclical process. Mm-hmm. It allows you to test and refine teaching approaches real time, assessing what works best for students with different abilities, and you adjust accordingly. So you complete one cycle, you take what you learn, you do another cycle. And it really helps you improve your practice and learning experiences of your students. So what's an example? A teacher might experiment with incorporating more tactile materials for kinesthetic learners in their classroom, or digital tools to engage visual learners. And by systematically really digging deep and investigating and adapting their teaching practice, you can, as a teacher, as an art teacher, you can then create a more inclusive and effective learning environment that could cater to different and diverse needs of your learners. Narrative inquiry is another method, which mm-hmm. offers a rich student-centered approach to teaching and learning that focuses on personal stories and experiences and perspectives as primary sources of knowledge and learning. And, you know, when you think about research techniques and accommodation with diverse learning needs, which we are all facing in today's classrooms, Hooks emphasizes on creating a learning community that respects and values difference, and that's paramount to doing research. The classroom remains the most radical space of possibility in the academy. Mm-hmm. And art teachers can apply this principle by Hooks by using research as a tool to really understand and embrace our kids' unique backgrounds, their abilities, and learning styles to really make a difference. And when you foster an inclusive classroom where every student's voice and perspectives are valued, you can then tailor your teaching strategies to meet the varied need of your learner. And this is where research shines. And it not only accommodates differences, but also enriches the learning experience for all. And, you know, Hooks's vision of education as a practice of freedom and inclusion. And as a teacher, you really kind of connecting with your students, you're connecting with your space, you're making the possible. You're really allowing that space to dig deep and make a difference because you become that agent of change through the research that you do in your classroom.
Who would not want to research after hearing that?
Gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That was a mic drop. I mean, that was amazing.
Okay. Boom, you're done. No.
No, I'm really hopeful that a lot of teachers hear this and hear this loudly because we are trying to improve education. You know, I know it's hard right now. I know that we're all having to dig deep just to be there. But when you really do this, you know, combination of research and reflective practice, you're going to get so much out of it and you're going to see improvement and make it possible for kids. And that's really what it's all about. That magic that you were talking about. Oh, I'll let Matt ask the last question. I'm like, wow, got to breathe.
So what we do on our podcast is we end our episode just by giving you an opportunity just to kind of share anything else that you would like to share or talk with or leave with our listeners, whether it's something we've already talked about or something we haven't even scratched the surface on, which to me, this sounds like there's going to be multiple episodes. But, you know, if there's anything you would like to leave with our listeners, we would love to hear it.
Sure. So I think I would say that to anybody listening to this podcast, that reflect on your journey as an art teacher. And I want to leave this podcast with questions. How do we as educators creatively and collectively reimagine teaching and art practice during these turbulent times, which is shaped by our most powerful asset, our lived experiences? For art teachers, being responsive to individual and community needs by questioning what is and what could be is an everyday experience. Mm-hmm. As I consider the challenges we all face in today's classrooms, many possible questions arise. How do we continue to be creative in strengthening and reimagining a reflective practice from what we know now from responding to crisis? How do we as teachers listen and learn from the lived experiences of our students? What forms of art learning do we trust as authentic, meaningful, and affirming? And how do we convince others about those? What modes of art teaching are appropriate? What modes of art teaching are effective? And how do we know that? There are many such questions that come to mind, and how we explore them through research can help redefine what teaching and learning means, how it is pursued, and what impact it has, and what we can learn from it. As art teachers, these are issues we know well. And furthermore, as classroom practitioners, your lived experience and that offers insights that are timely, real, and relevant, because as a teacher, what you bring to the classroom makes a distinctive contribution to the NADI network that continually becomes art education. And as we move forward in uncertain times, I really invite you and encourage you to think about your classroom as the most profound place of possibility where the magic happens. And I keep coming back to this because your classroom is a magical space. And it has so much to offer when you start looking at it. And even if you go into your classroom and journal every morning of what you see and what you don't see, you'll come up with questions that you want to dig deep. So I'll end there, and I hope that you will get something away from it and you'll get excited to do research. And if you have any questions, reach out to me on email. I'd be happy to answer questions. But I really hope that it will inspire you to do research and to take that passion of teaching beyond the classroom.
It may even be a really great way to invigorate your teaching practice as well. And
absolutely.
So, Ami, it's been beyond a pleasure, and we were so glad to have you on here. And I know I said it jokingly, but I really think we could have multiple episodes.
I would love to do it. I would love to kind of figure out a way to just talk more about different approaches and like, how do we engage teachers? And I think some of the things that we did in the journal where we had people who wrote articles about their classrooms. So we have a little bit of time, so I can, you know, over the next few weeks, I can, you don't need this right now, right?
No.
So I was thinking I could pull some articles from art education, which is more practitioner, because that goes to in the hands of teachers, and to share some examples of different things that teachers might have done. And if you could put together a resource list, that'll be great. Is there a limit of how many resources we can put, or we can put a few?
Pam, that's up to you. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we can have. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've ever had. I mean, it's endless because it's a website. So
okay, perfect. So I'll pull some things together because it might be interesting to see what people get out of it, right? And you could track and see if people are interested, how many people are listening to the podcast. It'll be good to kind of think about what else can be offered. But no, this is. I hope this is what you wanted. I don't know.
That's exactly what I rambled
on, but.
We didn't want it to be intimidating. We didn't want it to be stressful. We just wanted people to have practical ways in which to start researching, or at least just
to get inspired to research, to dig deeper and start looking, okay, how can I do this? What can I do? And I think
what is going on in my classroom? What
hit
is,
all of
oh my gosh. So,
there's just a lot. I would say too, I want you to write a book and then do the audio version of it. Because I like
it is something on my list to do. I am looking at that. That has been a dream that my advisor and I had, that one day we'll write a research methods book for our teachers.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it.
That's what I want. I'm like, that's exactly what you need. Yeah. Yep.
That's what we need. So it's something that it's at the back of my head. Now that the journal is done, I'll think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you still got to be a mom. You still got to do all the other things.
Exactly.
If I remember right, you have a 13-year-old like we do. So that's a whole world of just in its own.
Yes, I think I have a 13-year-old girl. You have a 13-year-old girl or a boy?
We do.
Yeah,
yes.
We have a 17-year-old boy, a 13-year-old girl, and an 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, I have a 17-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl, and the emotional drama is insane.
Oh
yes,
yeah.
yes, mm-hmm. It is. Yeah,
it is
and that's from both.
Nonstop.
Is she going to high school next year?
She sure is, my friend.
So
sure
is
is.
Ours. So is ours.
She'll get ready.
Ours will be 14 in June, and she's going to an academy that is she'll be graduating high school with an associate's degree in hopefully humanities or liberal arts.
Oh,
and then we can,
very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's a brand new program.
It's a brand new program, but it's been extra drama.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, tell me about it. So as in New York City, you take a specialized high school test to go to a selective high school. So my daughter is also mm-hmm. doing one of those mm-hmm. things.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a constant drama.
Yeah. Well, and they're having to leave their friends. And
yes,
like, that's part of it for her. Mm-hmm. She's nervous about that. And,
she
like,
latched
you've got
on.
Got it into this special program
she
that only 150
on
to, kids got into. So,
and it's provided through one of our neighboring community colleges. And she's like, wait, I get a college ID? I'm like, no, slow down.
Oh, my God. Yes. And like today, my daughter was like, but my friend is not going. I was like, you work hard to take that stupid test.
Right? Exactly.
Just do it. Like, I don't want to hear
that. Just do it. Nope.
We actually have kind of lucked out because just this week, her best friend got accepted into a private school, and her parents are sending her to private school next year. So they wouldn't be going
a little less drama. So,
yeah, because that means they wouldn't be going to the same school anyway. So,
yeah. No, which is good. Like, I'm all for public education. My kids do not go to any private school.
Nope. Our parents were both public educators. Matt's
there
dad was a science teacher. His mom was an elementary teacher. My mom was a AP macroeconomics teacher. And I have no understanding of math. And I think that's so funny that she raised an art person.
Well, like, and then she also did the special programs.
Yeah, my mom did all kinds of crazy things.
For like the behavioral.
She was like... really well recognized in the state of Oklahoma for all the work that she did with teaching and learning.
Nice.
So,
yeah, my son is taking AP macroeconomics. Not that I understand a word of it, but I'm just saying.
My mom went to the University of Delaware. She got a grant from DuPont to get her degree in economics. And then
very
she went
cool.
back, but she still taught in K through 12. She was like, so?
Yeah.
She was a she was very political as well. So yeah, that's another story.
That's a whole nother.
She ran campaigns. She did a lot of
very
polling.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's fun.
My childhood was different.
We're living in different political times, right? We need more young people.
I'm kind of glad my mom is not alive right now because she could not.
Nope. No.
She would be so sick about what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, the world is crazy.
Yes, yes, it is. Well, well, all we can do is take care of our people. So
we look out for each other, and
exactly. So, all right, I think this was awesome. So, I hope just do whatever editing you guys need to do, and then whatever rambling you need to cut out, please cut out, and then.
It was all spot on. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And then I'll send you stuff so that you can put it on. And then I'll pull it together in the next couple of weeks. Next week, I have spring break, so I'll have more time.
Oh, perfect.
Sounds good.
Yep, whenever.
Perfect.
Awesome. So.
Thanks, Ami.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. How amazing. That was...
I think... I'll say this.
Okay.
I know that... The one thing I think made you a little nervous about CAN, especially as they started moving this direction, like it was always part of the process, but they really built the community first and then started easing you into the idea of research.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think when the idea of research came up, you started to get like just a little like,
yeah, a little
bit. I
don't
know about research.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if I use that voice, but
probably not.
But I definitely think it was a good conversation that needed to be had. And I loved the practicality and the simple ways in which she was just saying what, and she kept saying the magic of your classroom, and your classroom is magical, and all the things that are going on in your classrooms. and the things that can be used for research. Well, it doesn't have to be distance, and you don't have to go off somewhere and watch a bunch of other people. All you got to do is look around at what's right in front of you.
Well, and I will say this, one of the things that I said to all the CAN teachers was, you know, a lot of you are on a cycle of being assessed as a teacher. And so why not, you have to come up with a question that you're looking into that you're mm-hmm. growing and learning in anyways, why not roll that into a research mm-hmm. question, do some research alongside your reflective practice for that assessment, for your assessment with your administrator. Then it shows your administrator that mm-hmm. you're digging deep, that you're asking hard questions, that you're looking into it, that you're looking for data. You know, she talked about the qualitative data, which is, mm-hmm. is pretty much where I tended to lead in my master's program. And when I was an administrator, I was doing a lot more because I'm more touchy-feely. I like to talk. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. And so
never heard that before.
Qualitative was a little bit more my jam, but I think we often assign this idea in our heads that quantitative is going to be hard because it's numbers, and that's not true.
No.
It's not true at all.
It's not.
And I think just she gave us kind of the big picture idea of like, here's just enough to get started. And the cool thing is she's given us a ton of resources for teachers to dig into and read. And I did ask her at the end after we were recording, can you please write a book for art educators about how to get started? She said, it's on my list. So I hope, fingers crossed, someday that'll happen. But going back to the resources. Matt, where can they find those?
Well, the best place is going to be along with the episode on davisart.com, and underneath free resources, they will have a resource page for not only this particular episode, but all of the episodes. So where can they find all the other episodes if they're maybe not looking at davisart.com?
If you're not on davisart.com, well then you'll miss out on the episode and the resources and all that stuff there. But I understand that you have to have convenience. So you can always listen to the podcast on any of the podcast platforms, such as Amazon, Spotify, Apple, and those places. And then if you're there, we'd love it if you would hit the review button.
The like button. Leave a review.
If you'd leave a review, if you'd subscribe to it so that every Thursday when a new episode comes out, you're getting that
you never
reminder.
Know. Somebody may need it, so share it with them.
Yes. You might know just a fellow teacher that needs to hear something that one of our guests says, and you can just share it along.
And you know, we were saying to Ami about the different topics that we could probably talk about. But if you all wanted to maybe hear another topic or maybe talk with somebody else, always send us an email or a message on, you know, any of the social media platforms. But if they wanted to send us an email, where would they send that?
Well, we'd love to hear from you with your ideas and thoughts. So it's thecreativitydept@gmail.com. And you can follow us on social media at creativitydept. And lastly, and always, we thank you for listening, and we wish you a creative week ahead.